this is your Polycast for Thursday, January 29th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Minsure plans to spend $85 million to improve its website. The state lottery director apologizes to lawmakers, and a push for physical education in schools. The Minnesota Department of Human Services is eliminating 43 jobs to help solve a budget shortfall. Tim Pugmire reports.
The fiscal problems at DHS are linked to recent lawsuit settlements and improvements needed at the Minnesota Security Hospital. The department sent layoff notices to 35 employees last week. The other positions are currently vacant. Human Services Commissioner Lucinda Jessen said the layoffs in the direct care and treatment division were needed after other cost-cutting efforts fell short.
We've really been able to minimize the number of people who will actually not have employment by finding other jobs. And these are very good employees, we have a lot of people looking for them.
The layoffs come while lawmakers are considering a deficiency funding measure for DHS and other state agencies facing budget problems. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Minsure's draft three-year financial plan calls for $85 million in new spending to improve the exchange website. Mark Zadeklik reports.
The plan would spend almost 2.5 times what Minsure had expected to spend on IT improvements over the next year and a half. The goal is to improve the website and make Minsure easier to use for brokers, county workers, and others assisting consumers. Spokesman Joe Campbell says part of the new money comes from a federal grant that requires all of the funds be spent this year.
It is going to be challenging for us to spend that money in that amount of time, but we're hopeful that what we'll be able to do will be in the best interest of Minnesotans and those who come to Minsure for health coverage.
More than half of the new money comes from higher than anticipated state and federal reimbursement to Minsure for enrolling people in public health care programs. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Despite objections from state lottery officials, a Minnesota House panel has advanced two bills that would ban the sale of lottery games at gas pumps, ATMs, and online. Lawmakers overwhelmingly approved the same legislation last spring, complaining that the lottery had overstepped its authority. DFL Governor Mark Dayton vetoed that measure, though. During a House committee meeting yesterday, Minnesota Lottery Director Ed Van Pelton warned that a ban would bring lawsuits from vendors and cost the state millions of dollars. Van Pelton also offered an apology.
I regret the breakdown in the relationship with the legislature. However, you can be assured that when I came into this position, I was simply carrying out what we believe then and still do today was a direction and a plan that would improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the state lottery's delivery and operations that had been ongoing for years before I arrived.
Republican Representative Greg Davids of Preston, the sponsor of one of the bills, said the lottery had gone wild and that it needs to be held in check. State lawmakers are considering boosting physical education standards for Minnesota students. The Senate Education Committee is holding a hearing today on a bill that would require schools to test for student fitness every year. The bill aims to improve student wellness and long-term health, but some say it's not necessary. Jack Alwell is a physical education teacher in Farmington and former president of the Minnesota Association for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance. He talked to Kathy Werzer about why he thinks it's important to increase standards for physical education.
Well, actually, the standards are already in place thanks to legislation in 2010. The state of Minnesota has adopted the national standards that NASB has put forth. But what this legislation is trying to do is to create benchmarks that will hold each of the Minnesota schools accountable for the physical education of its students. And many of them are already meeting the standards, but without the benchmarks, we don't have the same rigor that the other subject areas do. So that is the intent of this, is to really raise and enhance physical education in the state of Minnesota.
So what would a benchmark look like for, say, a fifth grader in physical education?
Right. A fifth grader, he or she would be expected to meet certain competencies, both in the area of skill and knowledge that would, for instance, let's say the overhand throw. They would want to be able to demonstrate a mature form of throwing, at least something that is mature for the age of 10 or 11 years old. They would also need to know some principles and strategies of movement. They would have to have the knowledge and skills that were necessary to attain a certain level of fitness. And by the way, your introduction sort of implies that this bill is all about fitness, and while fitness is certainly an important component in what we're trying to accomplish, physical education certainly goes well beyond that. And what we'd really like to see the State Department do, though, is hold us accountable to these other benchmarks, and not just we don't want a grade on whether or not a student is physically fit.
I know you've been teaching physical education for a long time. How has your experience been working with students, and has that changed over time?
Oh, yes, it's changed quite a bit. You know, when I first started back in the 1970s, we were very sports-oriented, very team-oriented. In a lot of ways, we even had an athletic director that insisted that we weren't paying quite enough attention to creating athletes for the high school level, which, of course, is neither our charter nor our intention. What I have noticed is that students have becoming more and more sedentary over the years. There's so many more things that interfere with the activity that I think accompanied us as when we were younger. So our focus now is moving somewhat away from the specific individual skills, although those are important because they are what encourages people to remain active. But we're now moving into more of lifetime types of skills so that we have kids that are both equipped mentally and physically for a full life of challenges.
I note that these yearly evaluations could take a significant amount of money for school to pull off. Do you think the tests really are necessary to improve physical education programs?
Well, accountability is necessary. Unless there's an accountability piece, what people eventually will do is just relabel what they're currently doing to avoid any major changes. And perhaps you remember back in the 80s when there was some legislation about the nutritional standards at school, mm-hmm. and President Reagan decided that in order to meet those standards, he was going to start calling ketchup a vegetable. And therefore, they were able to meet the standards without making any changes. Well, the same thing is actually true in physical education. We've had certain schools that they have now begin to call walking in the hallways their physical education requirements. And so, obviously, nothing is changing, and consequently, the outcomes aren't going to change. So what we're really trying to do is use those outcomes to actually change the nature and enhance physical education, and thereby increase the fitness. And by the way, there's a when this happens, schools have demonstrated that that they are transformed culturally, both academically and behaviorally, when kids are more active and more fit. And this is particularly true in the areas in which the achievement gap is greatest.
That's Jack Alwell, a physical education teacher from Farmington, talking to Kathy Werzer about a bill that would require schools to test students' physical fitness each year. And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.